Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church in Natick, I'd like to welcome you this morning. I'm Andy Burr, the interim pastor. It is my privilege and has been my blessing to serve in that capacity. Some announcements, surprisingly. We will be lighting the candle, the Christ candle, shortly. So those of you at home who would like to join us, we hope you all will, please get a candle so you may. Prayer requests this morning, every morning, can be sent to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and I will get them. You may write your prayer requests on an index card in the pew and hand it to an usher, and they will hand it to me. Or you could text it to my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250. Behold the playground. People of any age may go play and pray during worship. There'll be a coffee hour downstairs in the vestry following worship. Is there a virtual version? There can be a virtual version. People have the link. Things like that. Reagan.
Welcome, welcome. It is Ref Reagan, Coach Foley here, whatever you'd like to call me. I'm here to announce the start of the second quarter of our annual Super Bowl game. We had some big show in the first quarter. The Polar Bears, who are on the north of Route 135, went up to 121 points. Well done, well done. Now they may think they have the lead, but no. The Penguins, who are south of Route 135, are up to 150 points. Yeah, Penguins! What are the Polar Bears gonna say about this? What are they gonna say? Just a reminder that we're not bringing in food to the church this year, but we're donating online. The link is in the bulletin. It's yougivegoods.com/NaticSuperBowl2023. You can donate for food or clothing items for the Natick Service Council, which is pretty sweet, helping a lot of people. So you can donate on there, and you can also track the live score, so you can see live what people are doing, how the score is going up, and you can see the score go up right as you donate. Very nice. And I'm hoping to see some good action in the end of the first half. Let's do it.
Thank you. The departure or retirement or loss of a pastor of 20 plus years, the departure of an interim pastor after 2 years, there are lots and lots and lots of losses that we as individuals and we as a congregation have felt over the past few years. And so I invite you to a service here in the sanctuary this afternoon at 4 p.m. It'll be a time to reflect on the past few years, to name our losses, to honor our gifts, and to look forward to the future with hope. I hope you'll join us. Next Sunday at noon is the annual meeting. Please come, because it's an important meeting in the life of the church where things will be decided, and we need 50 to meet the quorum to have the meeting, to have it move forward. Thank you, Randall Davinsky. He got the annual report done. It is at great cost to his mental health, I think. And that report is available out in the what I would call the narthex. I don't know if people call it that, or downstairs in the vestry. Is that right? And in the office during the week. So let's turn our attention to the worship of God. From Psalm 22. You who revere the font of life, praise her. All the offspring of Leah and Rachel, Bilhah and Zilpah, glorify her. Stand in awe of her, all of you, of Rebekah's line. For she did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. She did not hide her face from me. And when I cried, she heard. On your account is my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who revere her. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek her shall praise the mother of all. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the wellspring of life. And all the families of the nations shall worship before her. For sovereignty belongs to the She who is holy, and she rules over the nations. They consume and they bow down all the fat ones of the earth before her. They bend their knees, all who go down to the dust and cannot save their soul. Later descendants will serve her. Future generations will be told about our God. They will go and proclaim her deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that she has done it. We're all familiar with the words in the Gospel of John that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Bible, and it's about being fishers of people. Jennifer Lee has this to say about fish and light. Fish for fallen light. In dark times, that is what we must do. Because there's light out there in the darkness. There's light in ourselves and others. We need to become fishers of people for this reason.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. To those who sit in darkness, light has dawned.
To those who dwell in gloom and despair, God's glorious presence has appeared.
God is indeed our light and our salvation.
We will follow unafraid where God and Jesus lead us.
Let us worship our God of light and promise. Let us celebrate the hope and joy of our salvation. Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 304, Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult.
Thank you.
may be seated. Please join with me in the opening prayer as we say together, God, our light and our salvation, Jesus announced the nearness of your realm and called his disciples to be fishers of people, women, children, and men. Give us courage to follow in the way of Jesus, that our lives may bear witness to the good news of the realm at hand, and our vocations serve to draw people to your love and light through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins before God, the source of freedom and forgiveness, first in silent prayer. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty God, we confess that we have not been faithful to you in our thoughts and actions. We have been selfish in our desires and quarrelsome in our relationships. We have allowed fear to divide us, to separate us from our siblings. Shine your light into our darkened hearts. Save us from our divisive ways. Unite us in the same mind as Jesus Christ, who dwells with you and the Holy Spirit in perfect harmony. Amen. The light of God's love shines into the dark places of our world, healing its brokenness and bringing hope to places of despair. The light of God's love makes us a forgiven people. Thanks be to God.
The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's take a moment to offer the peace of Christ to each other. Peace, peace.
Yeah.
doubt you've heard them before, and maybe even remember Paul's words to the Corinthians. It's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at present may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit. Let's continue to worship God with our offerings. David, are we doing the COVID version? There are plates on either side. I'm not sure. There are plates on both doors. You may make your donation online at firstchurchnatick.org or mail your check to the church office. Would you please rise in body or spirit for the song of praise? Let's pray together. God of our salvation, receive these gifts we offer and bless them for the work of your realm. In the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide. Amen. Please be seated.
The Christian scripture reading this morning comes from the very beginning of Jesus' ministries, after his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Here are the words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fisher folk. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people, women, children, and men." At once they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. At once they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the reign of God and curing every disease and every malady among the people, women, men, and children. And so his fame spread. Here ends the reading.
Back in the days when I knit more regularly, I would take my knitting almost everywhere I went, including pastoral visits to homes or hospitals. It was in those days that the UCC had just come out with their campaign entitled "God is Still Speaking," and predictably, there was a whole bunch of swag that they were selling in connection with it. You know, hats and t-shirts and tote bags and umbrellas and the whole thing. On the day I'm remembering, I was visiting in the hospital. Now, since I'm a company man, I was wearing my bright red "God is Still Speaking" hat. And since I'm a knitter, I was carrying my bright red "God is Still Speaking" tote bag in which, of course, was my knitting. I cut quite a swath. As I was leaving, walking past the nurse's station, some 12-year-old, you know how they are nowadays, some 12-year-old behind the desk thought he'd be funny. "Oh, isn't that adorable," he said. "Your purse matches your hat." "It's not a purse, it's a knitting bag," I replied. And then with my absolute best church lady harumph, I turned and pranced off to the elevator. Now, for those who didn't know already, you now know that I knit. And while it's true that I certainly wouldn't call myself a knitter by any stretch of the imagination, I can do the two basic stitches, but much past that, I'm hopelessly lost. I was able to make lots of these, in preparation for friends and family to wear at the Women's March on the Washington Mall. I like to think of my knitting not only as biblical, but also as a traditional male endeavor. Who were the first disciples? Men? Who would tradition tell us was the first called disciple? Andrew? And finally, what do fisher people do when fishers' nets break? They knit them back together. There it is. Now I feel better, and that is the backstory. And the current story, the call came in the form of a text message right in the middle of a church council meeting. My wife's dearest friend, Liz, needed a hand-knit hat, and she needed it Saturday morning, which effectively meant I had to have it completed by Friday night. I really wanted to do this for Liz. I was anxious because I didn't see the text message until after the council meeting. And by the time it ended, it was too late to get to the store. Tick tock, the tempest was fugiting. Early the next morning, I raced to the store before heading to Shrewsbury for my weekly Thursday morning visit with my mother. Actually, I was thankful for two things. Walmart was open and had the stuff I needed, and secondly, as bad as this sounds, my mother wasn't feeling well, so we didn't need to go out on our weekly travels throughout the 100-acre wood, which gave me more time to knit. As we move through this season of Epiphany and we read about the life of Jesus, we come to the beginning of his ministry, as Carolyn said. Jesus calls ordinary people to be his disciples, promising them that he will teach them how to be fishers of people. It's curious to me how Jesus begins his ministry. He calls a group of just ordinary people for an extraordinary mission. Some of the people that he calls are fisher people. There in Capernaum, on the Sea of Galilee in the time of Jesus, fishers used nets which they cast by hand from shore or dragged from boats, like that picture right there. There are two sets of brothers named in the text, Simon and Andrew, James and John, and they were from that well-respected fishing community and lived there with their families. We could assume that they are ordinary folks, just like you and me. Jesus called people into fellowship with him in an ONA way. He called them regardless of social or religious or ethnic background or gender. He called people you wouldn't ordinarily expect. The common thread was not only an ability, but also a willingness to hear his call, to make a break with the past, and to enter into a lifelong relationship with him. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." They left their nets immediately, and followed him. They heard his call. They put down what they were doing to follow Jesus. Imagine. Even if Simon and Andrew, James and John didn't have matching hats and knitting bags, there are still some similarities between Jesus' call to follow and my knitting story. I had to put down what I was doing for 2 days. If I was going to answer the call to knit for our friend Liz, I had to make time for it, even if I was really, really busy. I couldn't keep on going the way I always had and faithfully respond to the call. I wanted to respond to the call, even though it was just knitting a hat, I wanted to respond to that call. Liz does so much for us, and she was asking, really, for something so little, but it was incredibly important to her. I was nervous. While I had faith in the call, I didn't have faith in my skills to carry it out. That theme, anxiety and nervousness and feeling unqualified, is a theme that repeats itself throughout the Bible. Many whom God has called have resisted because they have felt unworthy or unqualified. Perhaps that's where the phrase came from. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. I had to trust. I knew the two basic stitches, but I got totally thrown off track when I made a mistake. I didn't know how to back things up or take the stitches off the needles. It made me very anxious through the whole thing, and sometimes it took the enjoyment away. As disciples of Jesus, we simply have to trust when we're called to follow. All we have to do is follow the pattern of Jesus' life and ministry. If we're called to follow, and we want to do it faithfully, we have to trust that the patterns we have to lead us to the desired outcome. Like all authentic calls, my call to knit that hat, there was both an internal affirmation, I wanted to do it, and there was an external affirmation. Liz liked it and asked me. Some others of us, perhaps, have stories of a dramatic and sudden call. For me, I was expecting, you know, the heavens to open and the angels and woo and all that, and it wasn't true. So others of us have slow and painful groping struggles, and others can hardly remember a time when they weren't believers and in constant communication with God. But what so many have in common in our stories is a desire to follow Jesus, a sense that we're being called. "Fear not, I say to you, Fear not, as the angel said to Mary, if you haven't yet recognized a sense of call, let's chat. Or even better, invite Elaine Gattani for a cup of coffee, and she will help you discern what it is. Jesus' words and example give us faith and the courage to put down what we're doing, to turn, if only for a moment, and respond to his call to follow. Interestingly, coincidentally, providentially, last year on February 6th, my first Sunday in FCC's virtual pulpit, I preached from home using Luke's version of this very story. I ended the sermon this way. What do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling? What does FCC need to let go of so it can move into the future to which God is calling? What does FCC need to let go of? It's the perfect question as First Congregational Church sets out into the deep of Interim Time 2.0. This morning, as you set out into the deep of Interim Time 2.0, Luke is asking FCC quite directly. As the gathered community of faith gathered right here in Natick, what do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling? My hunch, as I said last year, my hunch is that you have a hunch about what those things might be. I don't have any idea yet, of course. It might be an overly romanticized view of the past. It might be a ministry which was so vital in the past, but it only continues because we've always done it that way. It might be a new vision replacing one developed years ago. Or perhaps, which is even much harder, it might be some members of the active leadership stepping back so some of the boat's crew can develop their own fishing skills. I finished up. What does the First Congregational Church, this very church, need to let go of so this community can move into the future to which God is calling? That was last year's ending. Here's this year's ending. I am now convinced that my hunch a year ago was correct. More than a hunch, I know that you know what has to be done so that you'll be ready to welcome your new pastor. As Interim Time 2.0 continues, as FCC enters the final stretch of knitting the new reinforced nets for ministry with your new settled pastor, I pray that you will trust the example of Simon and Andrew, James and John, and the whole cloud of witnesses upon which you stand to put down what you're doing, especially, most importantly, that which you've always done. The time is now. Cultivate a fierce desire to really hear and faithfully respond to God's current call, God's emerging call, God's new call on your lives. This is a hard one. Know that you'll be nervous. Know that you'll be nervous, maybe even very nervous, as you faithfully respond to God's call. Know that you'll be nervous as individuals. Know that you'll be nervous as a congregation if there's not a serious case of the nerves, then one isn't responding to God's call. One is responding to their own wants and their own needs. Trust that as you faithfully respond to God's call, that God will teach you the new stitches that you need to know so your nets will be strong and true and dependable. You can still get what you need. The store is open a bit longer. If you trust God and faithfully respond to God's call, I can assure you without a shadow of a doubt, you'll finish the hat in time. May it be so. Amen. As we enter this time of prayer together, what do people bring before the congregation? Joys or celebrations or concerns or prayer requests? Sarah Beth? It sounds like a prayer wishing that we the people, would recognize issues and deal with them head on, which might assist in resolving the gun crisis. And prayers of comfort for all those involved who have been affected negatively. Others. Oh, Gail. Okay, as I go to look in my Gmail, Amy Foley, please pray for my sister-in-law, Renee Birmingham, and her family, including my brother, Scott. Oof, their niece died unexpectedly Christmas Eve from heart failure. And the niece's two young children, one of whom requires extra medical care, are left in unstable custody situation. So I got that right. Others? Heather? Help us to discern what to hang on to and what to let go of. Beth? Prayers of comfort and presence for the family of Dan. I can't read my own writing. I'm sorry. For his family and friends who died of colon cancer recently. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O God, giver of all good gifts, you have given us life. You have bestowed upon us your love, and that love includes your plans for us. What are we to do? All life is a call and a response. We pray for grace to hear your voice and a heart to respond. We are ready to listen. Help us to listen to the rhythm of each day, day by day, so that we're not overwhelmed with thoughts of the future. Yet guide us into that future so that we know who and whose we are. We shall listen. We shall listen to the voices of those witnesses who have lived before us. We shall listen to those who are here to give us guidance and encouragement. For it's clear that whatever plans you have for us, we will never journey alone. We will listen to our feelings as we grow and change. Processes that we know will be lifelong, we shall listen to you. And even though we want easy answers, we know that what you want is a relationship. So when we answer you, may our response be to our potential and to your love of all creatures on your good earth. Let us serve with the gifts you have given us. O God, we know that vocation is truly a gift of your love. What are we to do? We're ready to listen. We're ready to follow. As Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, would have us pray in the language of our hearts, our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, number 374, Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant?
Thank you.
Listen. Listen. Jesus is calling you. First Congregational Church, listen. Jesus is calling you. As you leave this holy place, responding to God's call, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.